الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, all praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Continuing with the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, we are currently, alaykum as-salam, dealing with verse number 138. And the verse says in Arabic, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, صبغة الله ومن أحسن من الله صبغة ونحن له عابدون. وعليكم السلام. One of the brothers will kindly read to us in English the meaning of the verse, interpretation of the meaning of the verse in English, please, in a loud, audible voice. 138, Surah Al-Baqarah. Yes.
Our sikha or religion is the sikha religion of Allah, Islam, and which sikha or religion?
Sibgha.
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 Aywa.
Or religion can be better than Allah, and we are his worshippers.
Barakallahu fiq. Yaqul Shaykh Rahmatullahi alayh, أي إلزموا صبغة الله وهو دينه وقوموا به قياما تاما بجميع أعماله الظاهرة والباطنة وجميع عقائده في جميع الأوقات حتى يكون لكم صبغة. وصفة من صفاتكم يا أخوان, I kindly request your gentle silence. The Shaykh said, إِلْزَمُوا صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ, meaning maintain the sibgha of Allah, which is His religion, the deen of Islam. وَقُومُوا بِهِ قِيَامًا تَامًا, and maintain it and establish it in the ultimate sense. يعني ما في 50-50. Huh? يوم مسلم, يوم لا. يوم كويس, يوم لا. You know, one day you pray and the next day you leave it alone. One day you fear Allah and the next day you don't. And you know, you're just taking the deen as a joke. Someone who's not consistent, you know, even in the sports world, it's unacceptable for you to, you know, play good one time and be lousy the next. What people expect of you is consistency. You must, you know, have at least an average level of play that you do not go below. And similarly, and more so in Islam, we must have like a minimum kind of level that we do not, you know, go below. We should have some sort of, we should maintain our deen. بِجَمِيعِ عَمَالِهِ الظَّاهِرَ وَالْبَاطِنَ, and this includes all outwardly and inwardly deeds. يعني everything that deals with the things that the people see and the things that are in their heart that no one can see, such as your love of Allah, your dependence on Allah, your fear of Allah, and what have you. وَجَمِيعَ عَقَائِدِهِ بِجَمِيعِ الْأَوْقَاتِ, بِجَمِيعِ الْأَوْقَاتِ. So also all of the different creeds, the belief systems that we have in Islam at all times. حتى يكون لكم صبغة وصفة من صفاتكم, until it becomes a صبغة for you and a quality of your qualities. And usually the word صبغة is used in many different contexts. For example, when you become a shaba and then people tell you to dye your hair red, that is called يصبغ الشعر, to dye the hair. You with me? Dying, not as in dying, as in changing the color. And but you notice when you dye your hair, what happens? They become, they merge with each other until you come out with one result. يعني the henna or whatever coloring you're using with the hair, when you put them with each other, you wind up having one final result. It's no longer white hair and henna on the side. They merge with one another until it dyes your hair, and your hair loses its original color, and it is only colored with what? The henna, or the coloring. So this word here, sibgha, you have to understand it in this fashion. where whatever your original character was, and your behavior, your conduct, your whatever way of life, once you become, once Islam dies you, huh? Once you died with Islam, then that would be the dominant. Your old character, which was un-Islamic, must be thrown away. Must keep it away. If you used to lie, can't lie anymore. You used to drink, you can't drink anymore. You used to smoke, you can't smoke anymore. You used to fornicate, you can't fornicate anymore. Because once you've entered into Islam and this became your religion, you died in it, then you must, the die will encompass that which is died, and similarly Islam shall encompass you. Otherwise, your Islam is not sound. It is not perfect. It is not in a condition which will guarantee you paradise. You see, not every Muslim, unlike other religions, is going to Jannah. You know that, right? Does everybody here know that? Does everybody know that not every Muslim will automatically be permitted to paradise?
Yes, yes.
You do know that Muslims will go to the hellfire.
Yes.
Why? Hey, because we believe that you have Iman and you have the means to do righteous deeds and bad deeds. And if you play around and you don't do the good deeds and you do too many bad deeds, and the bad deeds outweigh your good deeds, then you won't land in the hellfire. Unlike Christianity, Judaism, and the other religions who tell you, khalas, once you become with us, you're going straight to paradise. Guaranteed. No discussion. Some denominations may claim otherwise, but essentially, it's the conception of accepting Jesus as your personal savior, and khalas, that is paradise right there for you. In Islam we say, no, after someone becomes a Muslim, say, now you're on the right path. Before, you will go in the wrong direction. Huh? You're on the freeway, the cars are coming like this. Before Islam, and you're going against the traffic. Very soon you get a crash. You may go off the road, and you're done. Now that you have become a Muslim, now you go with the traffic. Now you go in the right direction. But you still have to move. You can't just sit in your car, say, I'm going on the right path. Say, your destination is over there, my friend. You need gas, alhamdulillah, which is Iman. You need a car, which are your righteous deeds. Huh? So Iman is like the gas. If you have a lot of gas, alaykum salam. If you have a lot of gas, you'll be able to move. If you don't, not. We had a lecture not that long ago. I don't know if your brothers knew about it, or I didn't see any one of you there, which is not good. It was titled, Running on Empty. Running on empty. Yeah, and you're trying to get to paradise with low Iman. The same way you're trying to get to Mecca with an E in your car. Are you going to get to Mecca? You're going to run out of gas, man, unless you fool yourself. So then Iman is like the gasoline of the vehicle. And then righteous deeds are the vehicle. If you have good tires, you will probably make it. Huh? If you have a power steering, that will make it easier for you to get there. If you have an air condition, you'll go there comfortably. And so forth. So you tell someone who becomes a Muslim, alaykum salam, alaykum salam. Now that you have become a Muslim, you are starting to travel on the right path. But my friend, you need to move. Now what is my job as a Muslim brother? I can give you a push. I'll push you. I can give you some gas, some money to help you buy some gas. I will assist you as a brother to take you to Jannah. But for me to take you to Jannah myself, I'm unable to do that. So then, the person must strive in order to enter Jannah. If somebody does go in the right direction, like many new Muslims, who you see them come to the da'wah center, you know what I'm saying? They embrace Islam for whatever reason. Then after they become Muslims, they come a week or two, and then gone with the wind. And then some of the brothers see him a few weeks later, and then they ask him about Salah. He says, oh no, I haven't been praying. I haven't really been learning. I really don't know much. Blah, blah. Then they start giving him all these excuses about why this and why that. So we say to this individual, listen man, you may be nullifying your embracing Islam earlier. And furthermore, you're not included in this particular verse. Islam has not changed your life. And Islam must change your life for you to be on a path to paradise, so you can guarantee success, and so you can invite your non-Muslim family members to Islam. Because if they see you, a little weird, and you're not really doing Islam, Then they're going to look for faults in you and tell you, see, look, you're just like everybody else. You know, the religion, you know, blah, 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 blah. They try to find faults. But when you present Islam in a right form through your character, through your behavior, through the teachings of Islam, then obviously this will be a very effective tool, to invite them to Islam. طيب. فَإِذَا كَانَ صِفَةً مِنْ صِفَاتِكُمْ أَوْجَبَ لَكُمْ الْإِنْقِيَادُ لِأَوَامِرِهِ طَوْعًا وَاخْتِيَارًا وَمَحَبَّةً. الإنقياد لأوامره طوعا واختيارا ومحبة. The Shaykh said, if it does become, if Islam does become a quality of your qualities, then that necessitates that you comply with the rulings. You must act in accordance with the rulings, the do's and the don'ts. You do that willingly, طوعًا, you know, voluntarily you do that, وَاخْتِيَارًا, by choice, وَمَحَبَّةً, out of love. وصار الدين طبيعة لكم بمنزلة الصبغ التام الثوب الذي صار له صفة. In that particular case, religion will become your natural state. The same way the thawb will become in this fashion if you were to dye it with another color, whether the hair or the thawb. We give the example of a thawb and we give the example of a hair. Like if you dye some clothes with another color, it becomes part of the cloth. Similarly, Islam will become naturally part of you. It is not something that you have to, you know, exert any effort. It's just something that is natural to you. فَحَصَلَتْ لَكُمُ السَّعَادَةَ الدُّنْيَوِيَّ وَالْأُخْرَوِيَّ. By then, you'll be able to attain the happiness of this world and the happiness of the life to come or the hereafter. لِحَفْدِ الدِّينِ عَلَى مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Why? Because Islam encourages excellent character. I suggest that you study this later. طيب ومحاسن الأعمال, and it encourages that you do good deeds, the best of deeds. ومعالي الأمور, and يعني things that are honorable actions, nothing that will, you know, belittle an individual. فليهذا قال على السبيل التعجيب المتقرر للعقول الزكية. That's why Allah سبحانه وتعالى used this particular format, basically that is already understood according to the people of understanding. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ سِبْغَةً. It's like a rhetorical question. And who is better than Allah? Who is better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of legislating the proper religion for the people? And the answer is, أَيْ لَا أَحْسَنَ صِبْغَةً مِنْ صِبْغَةٍ. No religion, no one can do this better than Allah جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ وَتَقَدَّسَتْ أَسْمَاؤُهُ. طيب. وإذا أردت أن تعرف نموذجا يبين لك الفرق بين صبغة الله وبين غيرها من الصبغ فقس الشيء بضده. The Shaykh said, if you want to get a sample by which you can identify the difference between the Sibgha, the deen of Allah, and the deen of other than Allah, other religions, he says then compare the things according to their opposites. Compare things according to their opposites. He will give you an example. فَكَيْفَ تَرَى فِي عَبْدٍ آمَنَ بِرَبِّهِ إِيمَانًا صَحِيحًا أثر معه خضوع القلب وانقياد الجوارح فلم يزل يتحلى بكل وصف حسن وفعل جميل وخلق كامل ونعت جليل ويتخلى من كل وصف قبيح ورذيل وعيب فوصفه فوصفه الصدق في قوله وفعله والصبر والحلم والعفة والشجاعة. يا لطيف. نعم استعان. طيب let me see how. Let me stop then I'll translate the rest. He says, so what would you say? What would you say about a slave who has believed in his Lord, about a servant who has believed in his Lord in the right fashion, the right faith, not that Allah is three, that Allah is one, unique in his oneness, and that belief was associated with the submissiveness of the heart, the submission of the heart, and the surrendering of the limbs. You surrender your limbs, your heart and your body, or everything. Then this person continues to acquire every good character and every beautiful action and every decent, noble manner and every good attribute, praiseworthy attribute. And he stays away from every bad conduct or quality and every, you know, nonsense, all kinds of degrading actions or statements, whether swearing or otherwise. So he becomes, his quality is, he is truthful in his statements, in his actions, wasabr, patience, hilm, which is also being kind, helping, pardoning others. Hilm is to pardon others and disregard their evil towards you. Wal-iffa wa-shaja'a, bravery, being brave, being strong. والإحسان القولي والفعلي, and also goodness in the statements and goodness in the actions. ومحبة الله وخشيته, and loving Allah and fearing Him. وخوفه ورجاءه, and hoping Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and being in awe. فحاله الإخلاص المعمود, his condition is being sincere to the one who is worshipped, which is Allah سبحانه وتعالى. والإحسان العبيد, and he is good to the creation of Allah, he is good to the slaves of Allah. فَقِسْهُ بِعَبْدٍ كَافِرْ بِرَبِّهِ. Now compare this kind of brother, which was just mentioned earlier, with another one who disbelieves in his Lord. Basically compare a Muslim to a non-Muslim who disbelieves in his Lord. وَشَرَدْ عَبْدٍ, he's gone away from him. وَأَقْبَلْ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ, and he is turned towards other creation of Allah. He left alone the worship of Allah, and he replaced that with the creation of Allah, whether it is an angel or a prophet or a statue or the sun or the moon or anything that is worshipped besides Allah in this day and time. وَتَصَفَ بِالصِّفَاتِ الْقَبِيحَةِ. So now he has the worst of qualities. مِنَ الْكُفْرِ وَالشِّرْكِ, kufr, disbelief, shirk, associated partners with Allah. وَالْكَذِبْ, lying. وَالْخِيَانَ, betrayal. وَالْمَكْرِ, treachery. والخداع, tricking people. وعدم العفة, not being clean, also committing fornication, adultery, what have you. والإساءة إلى الخلق, and being evil towards the creation. في أقواله وأفعاله, in his statements and his actions. فلا إخلاص للمعبود ولا إحسان إلى عبيده. So there is no sincerity to Allah, the one who is worshipped, and no goodness towards his creation. فأنه يظهر لك الفرق العظيم بينهما. It will become clear and evident to you the major difference between them. One worships Allah alone, and he is good to his creation, and he has every good quality, and the other one is exactly the opposite of that. وتبين لك أنه لا أحسن صبغة من صبغة الله, and it will become clear to you that there is no better صبغة than that of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. وفي ضمنه أنه لا أقبح صبغة ممن صبغ بغير دينه, and that entails that there is no worse صبغة than the صبغة of the one who has chosen a religion other than the religion of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, which is the religion of Islam. وفي قوله ونحن له عابدون. عبادة هو اسم جامع لكل ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الأقوال والأفعال الظاهرة والباطنة. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمة الله عليه gave us an encompassing definition for the word عبادة, which is translated to English as worship. He said worship is an encompassing term which includes all that which is beloved to Allah, whether it is the statements or actions, whether they are outwardly or inwardly, whether they are public or secret. This is what ibadah. Everything that Allah loves, whether you do it with your tongue or you do it with your body, whether it is visible to the people or otherwise, this is what ibadah means. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ, and to Him we are worshippers. Or ibadah comes also from the word abd, which is also the same meaning, and abd means a servant or a slave. And of course the word slave has a negative connotation because of some of the countries that had the tendency to enslave other people due to racial differences. And so when we use the word a slave, we are not intending that particular negative understanding of the word. Rather, we mean a slave to Allah, which is the most honorable status that one of us can have. We said the more you are a slave to Allah, the better you are. And we're not talking about other things which the human beings do out of their own desires, and they, oppose the Islamic teachings. طيب. ونحن له عابدون. بيانا لهذه الصبغة وهي Al-Ikhlas huwa al-mutaba'ah. He said this is a manifestation of what is intended by Sibgha, which is the religion of Allah, which is established on two major principles. Al-Ula, the first, it is sincerity. And second, it is huh? What are the two conditions for your act of worship to be accepted?
For the second one,
niyyah.
Sincerity and
according to the
Sunnah.
Sincerity and for the sake of Allah? That's the same thing. That's the same thing. Sincerity is for the sake of Allah. And the Sunnah. Hey. Then the first one is you do it for the sake of Allah. And I'll give you an example. We were mentioning not that long ago about Tawbah, repentance, how we did being repentant and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. And we said that one of the conditions of repentance is that you do it for the sake of Allah. And I give you a very valid example that people, you know, may not know about. Let's say that you're a smoker. I hope no one here is a smoker. If you are, you better quit. Because if I catch you smoking, I'm going to do nothing except give you an advice. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
Can I attend your class?
Absolutely, sir.
Oh, okay, thank you. Sugar.
No problem. If we can get the brother saying that, you know, don't smoke, man. Smoking is prohibited in Islam. Prohibited like as clear as the sun. We'll deal with the discussion maybe at another time. Nonetheless, so a person smokes, right? And he knows it's forbidden and he's supposed to stop. Yet, he doesn't. Until what? Until he goes to the doctor and tell him, hey, I think you got cancer and you're about to leave us alone. If you continue to smoke, or maybe he's diagnosed with some minor cancer that may develop into becoming more severe, if he was to continue to smoke, so the doctor tells him you can't smoke anymore, and he stops smoking. Can we say that this person has repented to Allah from smoking?
No.
No. He didn't stop for the sake of Allah, he stopped for the sake of the life, his life. He wants to live longer, he wants his body to be healthy, he wants to follow his doctor's advice, so he stopped smoking. Not because he knew that what he was doing is wrong, prohibited in Islam, and he decided to repent to Allah, because of the condition that he's in. So we say this repentance is void. Allah will not accept it. Even if you stop smoking, it will not be considered that you have done it for the sake of Allah. And whatever sins you have carried from smoking, you will carry them with you until the day of judgment. Had you repented for the sake of Allah, then you would have all of these sins forgiven. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, "At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lah." He who repents of his sin, of a sin, is equal to the one who is not sinful. Yani, if you smoke for 20 years, 30 years, and then you repented for the sake of Allah, you said, "Khalas, this is haram, I'm not going to smoke for the sake of Allah," and you met the other conditions of tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His generosity will erase the 30 years of smoking from your book of deeds. And you will not be held accountable for them. Why? Because repentance erases what comes before it. See the difference? But if you left it alone because of the doctor, huh? And you stopped smoking, but you didn't repent to Allah, you did it because of the dunya, then on the day of judgment, all the years of smoking. And the problem with smoking, what the people don't understand, is that it is double trouble. You see, we have different kinds of goodness in Islam and different kinds of evil. There's a goodness that is only confined to the individual, and there's goodness that carries on to other people. And in Islam, whenever we have both, then we always have give precedence to the one that carries on to other people. Yani, if you could do something that would benefit five brothers, or do something that would benefit only you, what do you do? The one that would benefit five brothers. Similarly, on the opposite side of the coin, we have an idea of oppression. You oppress yourself, that's one problem. But the real problem is when you oppress others. When you oppress others, because the oppression between you and Allah, that may be forgiven. That falls under the forgiveness. If Allah wills, you may repent from it, huh? Or Allah may forgive you. Or you have good deeds that will erase these bad deeds. Yani, there are many ways to eliminate this bad deed. That's between you and yourself. When does the problem really occur? when you impose that oppression upon your Muslim brothers and sisters in Islam. This is when you will be brought on the Day of Judgment and everyone will get his right from you. And this does not fall under forgiveness. So when one of these losers comes into a buffet with a cigarette sticking out of his mouth, طيب, now he's making me smoke. I don't want to smoke. I have the right to breathe fresh air. This is the land of Allah, not your land. You want to smoke, go smoke in the toilet in your own house. Not come smoke in a public place. You are actually harming the brothers. And you are ruining the food. You know, the stuff, the smoking, man, it's chemicals, a lot of bad stuff. He's actually harming everyone around him. From the employees to the brothers who come after, during his time. And all these will come on the Day of Judgment and tell him, give me my right back. You made me inhale some smoke and you damaged my lungs. And we know the secondhand smoking and I did not want to smoke. And you forced me to smoke because of your sin. This person will be brought to account. And everyone he ever smoked around that he harmed will ask for their right on the Day of Judgment. And there's no forgiveness in that. This doesn't fall under forgiveness in Islam. This is called mazalim, wrongdoings. And everyone will get his right from his brother. You see what I'm saying? So we have to understand then the concept. Smoking is a problem in and within itself. But the way it is being done today where you are sinning outwardly, openly, in front of the people, and you're harming the Muslims around you, is a big problem. And so brothers need to be mindful of that. If you smoke, or if you know someone that's smoking, you must understand that this is a very serious violation because of what it entails of oppressing your Muslim brothers and sisters who do not want to smoke, who have the right to breathe fresh air. So then we say, then repenting must have the condition of doing it for the sake of Allah. So this is the first condition. The second condition is it must be in accordance with the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? You cannot do an act of worship on your own, like in Christianity or in other religions. Every day they come up with a new act of worship. Honestly, they say, okay, what about we bring music into the church, huh? Why don't we have a little band, and you know, you'll be the chorus, and you'll be this, and you'll be a singer, and then all of a sudden, now you have churches with a full band. Singers and people in the background and the whole nine yards. And they, according to them, worship God in this fashion. Now, when did Jesus do that? When did the Jews before Jesus do that? Where did that act of worship that you have introduced, where does it come from? Who originated that? Maybe any priest during the course of his life said, why don't we do this? He was maybe a musician and he wanted to integrate music with the church. And the next day it becomes khalas, part of the religion. It becomes part of the religion. Why? Because they open the door of innovation. Anyone who wants to innovate, no problem. If it sounds good, they will do it. If it sounds good, looks good, ma fi mushkila, we'll add another holiday to the year, no problem. In Islam, we say no, no. We are very strict about these things. Why? Because this is the final revelation from Allah. There will not be another one that will fix this one if it goes bad, as it was the case with the previous religions. There will be nothing more. So this one cannot go wrong. You see? It cannot reach a point where people innovate so much that you no longer know the deen of Islam. Allah has protected this deen in this fashion. So because of this principle, we say your act of worship must be in accordance with the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot worship Allah according to what you think is befitting. You must do it according to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw was befitting based on revelation from Allah. So these are the two conditions for the act of worship to be acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa alaikum as-salam. Fadal. Fadal, fadal. The two conditions are ikhlas and mutaba'ah. We said, we will disobey Allah out of weakness. That's what we must make a major understanding. Everybody here, before you leave this room today, you must understand this difference. When we say that no way a believer will say what Abdul Hadi said, that he will say, I think smoking, you know, one or two or three cigarettes a day is fine. It's fine. It's moderate smoking. I'm not really a heavy smoker, not a chain smoker. I smoke occasionally. So I believe it's fine. We say it's inconceivable that a believer will ever utter such statement. Why? Because there's a difference between sinning Allah, which we will do, out of weakness. Yani, You struggle with yourself. There's an act of disobedience that you know in Islam you're not supposed to do. But then you have your weak self. And you have your soul whispering to you. And you have the devil whispering to you, go do it. You know, just one time. After some struggle, pay attention. After some struggle with yourself, you lose. You lose the fight. And you actually disobey Allah. But what happened in the beginning? There was a struggle. You tried, but you were unable because of some outward, some reasons that interfered with you. Yourself, you're with the shaitan, devil whispering to you, the weakness of yourself, loving that particular sin, maybe it's something that is beloved to you, whatever the reason may be. You only fell out of sin. That naturally, what do? Afterwards, you feel bad. Right? You have remorse. Say, why did I do this? I could have that. You know, you start talking to yourself, and then you decide that you will never do it again. This is fine. This is part of us being believers. We cannot. We don't have the means. We're not angels. Angels never disobey Allah. We can never lead. We can never reach this particular level. So we will naturally sin out of weakness, but we will soon turn in repentance to Allah. This is a part of the believer's lifestyle. Where does the problem occur? When it is in the form, as Brother Abdul Hadi said, oh, I don't think that smoking one or two or three is a problem. Meaning, there's no struggle. Huh? He's not saying, Akhi, make dua for me. I've cut down on smoking, alhamdulillah, now I only smoke three, and I hope I'll be able to leave them alone. That's not his attitude. His attitude is, I don't think there's a big deal if I disobey Allah three times a day. See, we say that you are not really, you cannot truly be a believer in the ultimate sense. A true believer will say, hey, I've been trying to quit, but I'm falling short due to my weakness. We say, tayyib, it's manageable. But to say like nonchalant, like this carelessness attitude, I don't think it's a big deal, you know, whatever. We say no believer, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to the people, قُلْ إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. Say, O Muhammad, to the people, tell them, verily I am afraid that if I disobey my Lord, I'm afraid of the punishment, of the severe punishment on the Day of Judgment. I'm afraid of the punishment on that day. This is who the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, to tell the people, if I disobeyed Allah. If this was the best of the creation, being commanded to say this, how can one of us come say, well, I don't think there's any problem with me smoking three times a day. You see, we say that this person's iman is not sound. He's probably has committed so many sins that it has covered his heart. Huh? He has veils. Allah says, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Nay, but it has veiled and covered their hearts that which they used to earn. And Prophet ﷺ said, when you commit a sin, a black dot is stamped on your heart. Huh? If you seek forgiveness of Allah and you turn in repentance, it will be erased. It will be gone. If you don't, it will remain a black dot. You like a school, huh? They put a black dot. You continue, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, you continue to sin until, and you don't repent to Allah until you have so many black dots that it will create a veil, a partition, huh? A layer over your heart. And then when guidance comes, bow, it will bounce back. It cannot go in. There are layers, veils, protecting your heart from guidance. So then the person will eventually take himself to the hellfire. He'll grab himself like this by his collar and throw himself in the hellfire with his own lifestyle. Why? It was because of these small sins that he thought that they're nothing. Three sins a day, three cigarettes a day, manita, three dots in your heart. And this is assuming that he is Shaykh al-Islam. He's not disobeying Allah and anything else except these three cigarettes, which is far-fetched. Because once you smoke a cigarette, you go to the masjid, that I told you already harming the brothers, harming the angels, you're harming the whole people, everybody. So then, a person will take himself to the hellfire with the cigarette that he smokes. And the shaitan tells him, it's okay, just three cigarettes a day, you're better than... Always compares him to the worst people. Oh, look at your friend at work, he smokes three packs. You smoke three cigarettes. So why don't you look at the million people who don't smoke? Why you look at that who's worse and not the one who's better than you? So anyways, this is another discussion. But we must understand, sin out of weakness, you know, is in Islam part of our deen. And the cure or the treatment for this illness is that we turn to Allah in repentance. We seek forgiveness from Allah. We make dua that Allah will forgive us. We repent to Allah. We intend never to do it again. You know what I'm saying? This is acceptable in Islam. But to just move around in our daily lives, talking about, you know, it's okay to sin here, it's okay to sin there. It's only this woman I'm talking to. Only this woman that I really send SMS messages that I love her. Only... why do you open the door, man? Only this and only this and only this. You're destroyed. Wallah, you're destroyed, ya akhi, and you don't even know. You don't even pay attention to yourself. So, you know, these things, ya akhwan, they add up. You know, they add up. Little sins, they add up. So that's why when we do disobey Allah, we must immediately turn to Allah in repentance. As soon as we disobey Allah, we should feel bad. We should leave alone the sin. We should have the intention never to go back to it again. And we should do all this for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of any other matter. طيب. لأن العبادة اسم جامع لكل ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الأعمال والأقوال الظاهرة والباطنة. As we said, عبادة, the word عبادة, worship, is an encompassing term which includes all that which is beloved to Allah, whether it is actions or statements, whether they are public or in secret. ولا تكون كذلك حتى يشرعها الله على لسان رسوله. And it cannot be called such until it has been legislated by Allah on the tongue of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Excuse me. والإخلاص أن يقصد العبد وجه الله وحده في تلك الأعمال فتقديم المعمول يؤذن بالحصر. And ikhlas is that you seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in all of your deeds. And it has been delayed in the sentence to indicate exclusivity. Remember we said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. If you translate that in literally, it means it is only you we worship. As opposed to saying we worship you alone. When you say it is only you we worship, this indicates exclusivity in your sincerity. Meaning only to Allah and to no one else. وَقَالَ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَبِدُونَ فوصفهم باسم الفاعل الدال على الثبوت والاستقرار ليدل على اتصافهم بذلك وكونه صار صبغة لهم ملازمة. الله سبحانه وتعالى described them اسم الفاعل. يعني in English it is equal to the er that you add to the end of the verb. For example, if you write, let's say you write. If I say that he's writing, okay, does it mean that he is a writer?
No.
A writer, when you say a writer, what comes to mind? That he is a professional writer. Yani he compiles books, he writes books, stories, novels, what essays, whatever. He's a writer, this is his description. So the ER indicates that this is something that is consistent with this individual. As opposed to he writes, you may write once in your life. You may fill out an application once a year and you consider it to be writing. But we don't say he's a writer because you don't do this all the time. You see what I'm saying? So in the Arabic language, it's the same thing. Abidun is equal to worshippers. Worship, not only worshipping, worshippers, meaning it is something that has become a quality of theirs. They are worshippers, meaning they are always worshipping Allah. The same way a writer is usually always writing, and a driver is always driving, and an eater is always eating. Hey. And a stinker is always stinking. But anywho, so that indicates continuity. Huh? Yani this is something that is part of you. So abidun in the Arabic is equal in the English to worshippers, meaning they don't have seasonal worship as many Muslims today do in Ramadan. You know, the Ramadan Muslims, unfortunately, as sad as it is maybe for the new Muslims, I'm giving you a heads up on what you will be seeing in Ramadan. You may be traumatized when you go to the masjid, the same masjid that you always pray at, you know, and all of a sudden, at the first night of Ramadan, alaykum salam, kif halak? Kif halak, tayyib, barakallah fik. You enter into the masjid the first night of Ramadan, and you're thinking you're in the wrong place. Say, what happened here, man? Usually you go to the first row, and there's three brothers. You go on the first night of Ramadan, and you will find yourself at the end of the masjid. And you went at the exact same time that you always go. Say, where did all these Muslims come from? And you will find some strange activity going on in the masjid throughout the 30 days. Suddenly, the masjid is full. Same neighborhood, same neighbors, same people, everything is the same. But somehow, the masjid becomes packed with people and it's just like, it's a whole other thing. These are, unfortunately, we ask Allah to guide all of us to the correct understanding of the deen, seasonal Muslims. They only know Allah in the ultimate sense. They know Allah all the year. But they really do what is expected of them to do in the month of Ramadan because of its virtue, which is fine, but not really. Yani it's very limited understanding of the deen. You know, Allah is our Lord throughout the year, not only 1 month of the 12 months that we have. So a Muslim should be in this particular behavior all the time. Of course, you may become more intense, you have more intense worship during Ramadan due to the virtue, no problem. But it doesn't mean you go from extremes. From being consistent in praying in the masjid to stopping in praying in the masjid or joining the second jama'ah or what have you. You know, in Ramadan you do it right and outside Ramadan you do it wrong. Rather you should do the same, but in Ramadan and during the regular year you're always there in the masjid, and in Ramadan you try to strive more, read more Quran, you know, do other, pray longer, pray more, things of this sort. More intense worship because of the virtue of the month. Otherwise, you'll see some seasonal Muslims. And so here we're saying that when they're worshippers, that means that they don't have this particular attitude where they only worship Allah in the right sense in Ramadan and then they are negligent of Allah's rights in the rest of the 11 months. A worshipper is continuously, in continuity, worshipping Allah to the best of his ability with the shortcomings that all of us are not free from. طيب قل أتحاجوننا في الله وهو ربنا وربكم ولنا أعمالنا ولكم أعمالكم ونحن له مخلصون. Someone can read verse 139 in the interpretation of the meaning in English, please.
Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the Jews and Christians, dispute you with us about Allah while He is our Lord and your Lord, and we are to be rewarded for our deeds and you for your deeds, and we are sincere to Him in worship and obedience. Some will be worship Him alone and none else, and we obey His order.
Jazakallah khair. Now this is a very interesting point, because I'm sure you, who has given da'wah to a Christian before? Raise your hand. Who has given da'wah, invited a Christian to Islam before? Malish. Only two brothers in the whole class gave a da'wah before?
Everybody.
How often have you heard your Allah, huh? Your Allah is blah blah blah, but God is something else. How often have you heard this distinction that is produced or introduced by the non-Muslims, where they make it seem that Allah is a special God for the Muslims and it has nothing to do with them? Their God is someone else. You know this before. I'm sure maybe some of you have encountered it, maybe you have not. But believe it or not, this is the belief of the misunderstanding of the majority of them today. And I personally come across this in too many occasions, whether through email or otherwise, where people try to indicate that Allah is something that is only specific for us and it has nothing to do with them. So they say, "You're Allah, you're Allah." I know this from my in-laws, from my very in-laws. "You're Allah, you're Allah." As if Allah is one thing and God is another. Now this verse deals with that. Say, do you dispute with us, huh, regarding Allah, and He is our Lord and your Lord? And these people fail to understand, and if you want to use this for your future da'wah expeditions, when they give you this particular understanding that Allah is something specific for the Muslims and has nothing to do with the Christians, say, time out, go to the bookstore and buy a Bible in Arabic. Buy a Bible in Arabic and open to Genesis and see what it says. Waalaikum salam. Huh? And see what it says. You know what it says? The first thing, that Allah created the heavens and the earth. And the word used there is Allah. And you've heard it from maybe Christian Arabs who live here, particularly the Lebanese. He tell you, inshallah, inshallah, I will see you. Walhamdulillah, and maybe any other word. Because Allah, the proper name for the creator of the heavens and the earth in Arabic, is commonly used between Arab Christians Jewish Arabs, I mean Arab Christians, Jewish Arabs and Muslims. So tell them, how are you claiming that Allah is only for us Muslims, although your Christian brothers, to the Christian, who are Arabs, use the same word? Not only that, it's in the Bible. All over the Bible, Allah is referred to as Allah. So you say, see, you don't understand. We're not speaking about another God. Now you have made him a father, and the loving father in heaven, and you know you have added some, he's one of the Holy Trinity, and blah blah blah, that's your business. To us, he is none of the above. But if you speak about the creator of the heavens and the earth, then this is who Allah is. It is not a specific God for Muslims, it is the Lord of everything. Some people worship him, some people are too busy, then this is a whole other discussion. So, then he is our Lord and your Lord. The Shaykh said, المحاجة هي المجالدة المجادلة بين اثنين فأكثر. المحاجة, dispute, he said, is a form of argumentation between two people or more. Dispute is a form of argumentation, arguing between two people or more. Or they also call it debate. It's debating with two people, debating or more with each other. تتعلق في المسائل الخلافية. It is relevant, or related to matters in which people differ about. Right? Do you dispute and argue regarding something that we agree on? Have you ever seen two people agree on the same thing, arguing with one another? No. If they agreed, they'll say, khalas, case closed. Huh? And everybody will go in his own way, or they will go with each other, because they agree with one another. But when does that come into play, the dispute? Is when we hold different views. I believe something, and you believe something. And I try to prove to you that I'm right, and you try to prove to me that you are right. So we will dispute with one another. حَتَّى يَكُونُ كُلُّ مِنَ الْخَصْمَيْنِ يُرِيدُ نَصْرَةً قَوْلَهُ. Until it becomes that each one of the two individuals who are in the state of disputing, they will want to their own opinion to come up victorious. يعني you want to win that argument. You want to prove yourself to be, or your statement, or whatever you believe to be correct. وَإِبْطَالُ قَوْلِ خَصْمِهِ, while nullifying the statement of your opposition. يعني you come up victorious and you turn him into a loser. طيب. فَكُلُّ وَاحَدْ مِنْهُمَا يَشْتَهِدُ فِي إِقَامَةِ الْحُجَّةِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Each one of them will strive to produce his evidence, his proof, for whatever he believes is the correct position.
والمطلوب منها أن تكون بالتي هي أحسن بأقرب طريق يرد الضال إلى الحق.
But what is expected of us in this fashion is to do it in the best way possible. يعني, and this is why there are many reservations regarding what we know of debates today, and the nature of debates, and to what extent should we get involved in debating, a Christian or otherwise, on a stage with audience, you know, watching the whole event. You know, a very sensitive discussion that requires a person who goes into debating to be knowledgeable of these guidelines. Otherwise, you may make a lot of problems. You know, you may, and unfortunately, and this is something that is factual, people get emotional. You know, people get emotional and they get stupid. They no longer understand with their mind. They only understand with their emotions. That you are standing on stage insulting them and their understanding on, and then. So now even if you're saying the truth like the sun, like as clear as the sun, they no longer hear the truth. Now they're mad. So they will act according to this madness. But what does that do? Does it bring them to Islam? Usually it does not. Some people do, alhamdulillah, but usually what does it do? They run away. Now they know that Islam is right. And they know that their religion is wrong, but because of the nature of the event, they may deliberately turn away. Now still, this is not justifiable that what they're doing is correct, but you don't want to be the reason for that. You don't want to be the reason for them to do that. Rather, what is intended, if you do want to argue, and I've seen some debates by some individuals, without mentioning the names, who had an excellent manner in debating. It is overwhelming. Yani they contained the audience. The person debating, the Muslim, contained his opposition, who was a Christian in this particular case, and just yani his manner his behavior, his calmness, his tranquility, his method of avoiding yani harsh statements is just outstanding. And you really feel afterwards that it was an enlightening, yani there was a lot of benefit, a lot of light in this particular debate. And you don't feel all this, all these emotions that usually come along. Of course, people, some people will remain be very much emotional. But generally speaking, debates must be conducted in a particular fashion. And the intent behind them is that you get that understanding to the people that what you have is correct and what the opposition is wrong. But you must do it, as the Shaykh said, بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ, in the best way, in the best way possible. Where the Shaykh said, in the best way to bring the people who have been misguided to the path, to the truth. You gently move them towards the truth. وَيُقِيمُ الْحُجَّةَ عَلَى الْمُعَانِدِ, and while establishing the proof against the stubborn individual who deliberately denies. And there are so many of them. وَيُوَضِّحِ الْحَقَّ وَيُبَيِّنِ الْبَاطِلَ, and he clarifies the truth and he clarifies the falsehood. So the truth becomes clear and the falsehood becomes evident. فَإِنْ خَرَجَتْ عَنْ هَذِي الْأُمُورِ كَانَتْ مُمَارَةً وَمُخَاصَبَةً لَا خَيْرَ فِيهَا. The Shaykh said, if the debate lacks any of these conditions, it becomes strictly argumentation and fighting that will bring no goodness. You see? So these guidelines are conditional, are essential that we have them. So we said that the objective is to do it in the best way possible. Otherwise it becomes of no benefit. وَأَحْدَثَتْ مِنَ الشَّرِّ مَا أَحْدَثَتْ, and it will bring harm, more evil. Plenty of evil will be a result of this particular debate if these guidelines were not met. فَكَانَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ يَزَعْمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ أَوْلَى بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَهَذَا مُجَرَّ الدَّعْوَى تَفْتَقِرُ عَلَى بُرْهَانٍ وَدَلِيلٍ. The Shaykh said, the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, used to claim that they have more right to Allah than the Muslims. You know, they said that we have more right to Allah than you, the Muslims. The Shaykh said this is only a claim that lacks evidence and proof. Where's your proof? Where's your evidence? فَإِذَا كَانَ رَبُّ الْجَمِيعُ وَاحِدًا لَيْسَ رَبًّا لَكُمْ دُونَنَا. The Shaykh said, if the Lord is the Lord of everyone, and He is not a Lord particularly for you and not for us. If Allah is the Lord for everyone, not just you, us and you. وكل منا ومنكم له عمله, and each one of us has his own deeds. We have our deeds, you have your deeds. فاستوينا نحن وإياكم بذلك. Now we and you are equal in that. You have Allah as our Lord and your Lord. Right or wrong? Right. You have your deeds, your deen, your worship that you believe you're getting close to Allah by, and we have ours. So we're equal now. One Lord, common deeds, you have some, we have some. وَنَحْنُ يَكْمِلَ فَهَذَا لَا يُوجِبْ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَحَدَ الْفَرِقَيْنِ أَوْلَى بِاللَّهِ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. First, this entails that there is no reason that one of the two groups will have more right of Allah than the other, because we're equal in this fashion. لِأَنَّ التَّفْرِيقَ مَعَ الْإِشْتِرَاكِ فِي الشَّيْءِ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ مُؤَثِّرُ دَعْوَى بَاطِلَةٌ. The Shaykh said, because making a distinction between two things while they have things in common without any difference that is actually of importance is just a false claim. وَتَفْرِيقُ بَيْنَ مُتَمَثِلَيْنَ وَمُكَابَرَ ظَاهِرًا, and it is making a distinction between two equal things, and it's just being stubborn and nonsensical. وَإِنَّمَا يَحْصُلُ التَّفْضِيلُ بِإِخْلَاصِ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. Where does the distinction come? Is when we evaluate the sincerity in the acts of worship that are done. Are they done for the sake of Allah alone? وَهَذِي الْحَالَ وَصْفُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَحْدَهُمْ. Now this case, in this case, this is the attribute and the quality of the believers, the Muslims only. So then, Allah is our Lord and your Lord. Come in. Okay? I'm speaking about the people here. Allah is the Lord of both. You have your deeds, we have our deeds. No distinction now, outwardly. You cannot say that you're better, because what is the difference between you? We're equal in this fashion. Where is the point of difference, the distinction, is when we evaluate the very intention behind the act of worship. If you look at the Muslim, who does he dedicate his worship to? Allah. You look at a Christian, who does he dedicate his worship to?
Jesus.
Jesus, Mary, Saint,
بطيخ, سينت جزمة, سينت ربيع, سينت بليون سينت. Every day they have a saint. And actually, you know Saint Christopher? You've heard of Saint Christopher? He was the, you know, the saint for the travelers.
Saint Valentine.
Don't worry about Valentine. But Saint Christopher supposedly was the saint that the Christians depended on, the one that they worshipped when they wanted to travel, meaning the one that would protect them from any harm, was Saint Christopher. Back in the 1970s, the Pope made a declaration that Saint Christopher is fictitious. You know fictitious? He doesn't really exist. And he crossed them off the list of saints. So now there's no more Saint Christopher. You say, Ishan, look at this religion, man. One day, years, thousands of years, people depended on Saint Christopher for their travel, and now all of a sudden, after some study in history, it turns out that the man doesn't really exist. He's a figment of people's imagination. He's an innovation. So he said, no more Saint Christopher for you. And he crossed them off the list of saints. So then, you say, look, this is, you did it, they were dependent, they don't depend on Allah when they travel, which is what the Muslim does. We make dua. Dua of Rasulullah when he would travel, it's all depending on Allah. Allahumma anta al-khalifat anta sahibu fi safar wa al-khalifatu fi al-ahl. Oh Allah, you are the companion in the travel. You mean you're the protector. And you're the one who will protect our family behind. Make this travel easy for us. And you make dua to Allah, you depend on Allah. The Christian goes to Saint Christopher. And then they tell him, oh, Saint Christopher doesn't exist. Okay, we'll find another saint. Okay, I'll just ask Mary. Oh, let me see if Jesus is there. Oh, hold on, maybe the Father. Ishada. So we say, if we want to make a comparison now between me and you, we say we have more right of Allah than you. We worship Allah. You don't even know who you're worshipping. And you ask a question. When you supplicate, who do you think of? The Father or the Son or the Holy Ghost?
The Son.
Yeah, he will tell you no. Some of them will tell you the Son. Some will tell you it's all three. Say, how? Do you bring three images and then you mix them with each other? And then, you know, it's a weird looking image. And this is all the three gods in one. Or do you have one single image? If you call unto the Son, why don't you call unto the Father? And if you call unto the Father, then why don't you call unto the Holy Ghost? Yeah, it's a paradox. It's a maze. They don't even understand. I've never had someone give me any logical explanation. He just tell you, I believe. That's what my mother taught me. That's what my father taught me. That's what I believe. But you must convince me. If you believe something, how are you going to believe in something that you cannot explain to someone else? It must be logical, ya akhi. It doesn't make any sense. Na ya akhi to him. You don't say that. He's not a brother in a sense. It is illogical to say this. A Muslim doesn't have all these problems. You don't have three images. You don't even have an image of Allah. So why you don't have to think of an image when you supplicate to Allah? You supplicate to Allah through your knowledge of Allah's names and attributes. Allah is the merciful, so His mercy you need. Allah is the forgiving, so His forgiveness you need. Allah is the powerful, so He can protect you from any harm. You depend on the names and the attributes of Allah. We believe in Allah, but no one has seen Him. Allah exists. It is not as some may claim that He's a spirit and He's everywhere. We said this is not the case. This is not our belief system. Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Himself is above His creation, above His throne in a manner which befits His majesty. How? No one knows. So that's none of your business. That's not, none of you. You stop there. You stop there. But we believe. So we don't have an image which saves you a lot of problem. Because, you know, when you claim that God is a white man, that's not fair, right? And so, you know, this is racism. So now you're claiming that God is a white man. Why? Why not a Filipino? Why not Chinese? Why not African? Why not any other nationality? Why a white man? And who made this idea? So you say this is some strange stuff, man, that they attribute to God. Giving Him anthropomorphic understanding, making Him equal to His creation. We in Islam, high Allah is above all this imperfection, all this nonsense. So anyway, so then the point of difference between us and them is then we are, when you look at the deed of a Muslim, they're for the sake of Allah. As for them, they ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Assalamu
alaikum. فَتَعَيَّنَا أَنَّهُمْ أَوْلَى بِاللَّهِ مِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ. It becomes clear that the believers have more right to Allah than others. لِأَنَّ الْإِخْلَاصَ هُوَ الطَّرِيقُ إِلَى الْخَلَاصِ. Look at this beautiful sentence. Because sincerity is the way to salvation. Ha! Sincerity is the way to salvation. Now, was this taught by Jesus? Huh, brothers? What, did Jesus teach that sincerity is the way to salvation? Yes. When he was asked about the by the man, what shall I do to enter into the eternal life to attain salvation? He told them, keep the commandments. What's the first commandment? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all. Isn't that sincerity? That's sincerity. Jesus said, if you want salvation, upon you is the commandments. The first commandment is that you worship God alone. That is Islam. So sincerity is the way to salvation. Not Jesus dying on the cross for anyone. That's not a way for your sin to be forgiven. If you get some chocolate on your clothes, tayyib, you have a nice towel, nice t-shirt, and you eat some chocolate, okay, and you spill some food. Is it good enough that he cleans his shirt? I spill some food here. So then the brother rubs his shirt and then mine goes away. Is it possible?
No,
I must clean my own shirt.
Yes.
I don't care what he could put water, he could swim in Ariel or any of these types. And I will still have chocolate on myself because this is my own personal property and I need to clean it. Whatever he does is not going to be of any benefit. So they say Jesus died and his blood was shed and then everybody else was forgiven. Okay, how is that? This is unfair. So the one who has small sins and the one who was a criminal, a drug addict, alcoholic, a murderer, you name it. He's equal to someone who had some minor sins because Jesus died for both. So both will go to paradise. We say, where is the justice of God? This is not, this is lazy. This is a lazy understand. This is people who just want to have fun. Anyone who wants to have fun will throw the blame on Jesus. Anyone who wants to enjoy his life, say, Jesus died for my sins. So I don't have to worry about anything. But if you are a true believer who believed in accountability, this will never be your attitude. You know that you will save yourself. You must earn your own salvation. The Shaykh said, حَيَّ اللَّهِ تَبْدُرِحَكَ اللَّهِ غَلَّقْنَا يَا شَيْخ. The Shaykh said, فَهَذَا هُوَ الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ أَوْلِيَاءِ الرَّحْمَنُ وَأَوْلِيَاءِ الشَّيْطَانِ. This is the difference between the friends of the most merciful of Allah and the friends of the devil. بالأوصاف الحقيقية, according to real qualities التي يسلمها العقول. All people of intellect agree to that. ولا ينزع فيها إلا كل مكادر جهول. The only one who will argue regarding that is a person who is arrogant and ignorant. That, you know, we're the same or they have more rights of Allah after it's become clear that they worship other than Allah. ففي هذه الآية إرشاد لطيف لطريق المحاجة. This ayah gives us a nice indication or teaching on how to dispute with others. The manner of disputing with others. وأن الأمور مبنية على الجمع بين المتماثلين والفرق بين المختلفين. And that everything is based on bringing relation between things that are equal and then making distinction between things that are different. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بإذن الله عز وجل, next week if we all remain alive we'll be dealing with verse 140.
I have a question for a creation, but out of time I'll make it for next time.